our talks last week and this week, we are reflecting on this moment of time that our culture is in, with so many men in power being exposed for sexual abuse and harassment. So a month or so ago, the waves really started to get big with the Me Too hashtag on social media. Time magazine, maybe you saw earlier this week, for their Person of the Year, gave the title to the women who were the first silence breakers, as they've come to be known. Something my friend Anna said last week stood out to me. We're hearing about abuses going on in high-profile environments, right? Like politics, media, Hollywood. And she asked me to consider, just think about what this must mean for low-profile environments. Retail, the service industries, corporate offices. Well, if this is what's going on in media and Hollywood, what's going on in these lower-profile environments? And that is a sobering question to ask. So this is a topic that matters in a very real way, very heavy ways for specific people in this community. And also, you know, a big part of the vision of this church, of Brownline Vineyard, is to equip people to be able to have the hardest conversations that life presents, to not run from those, to not try to avoid those. In our experience, most adults just don't feel very well equipped to do that. We've been taught how to laugh with other people. We've been taught how to impress other people. We've certainly been taught how to join others in disgust over something or anger over something or judgment over something, particularly on the internet. But I think most of us would say we've not necessarily been taught super well how to have productive conversation about delicate things. That's just not something they taught us in school. Maybe that's not something we got at home growing up. How to be vulnerable with other people, how to have hard conversations. A lot of us are not, like, we, if we're honest, like, we don't really feel very well equipped to that. I would call myself among them. And so part of the dream of this community is that we teach people to be the most present, engaged, and sensitive people in our neighborhoods. What if we could be that? It takes us all helping each other. It takes us all learning together. But this is why we've decided to set our topic for last week and this week as it has been set, so the sexual abuse and the building tide that is exposing how prevalent it is. So just to jump right in, what we're wondering is, what if this is a movement of God? That's what we're wondering. I'll tell you what I mean here. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. Advent is the 4 weeks of the church calendar set aside to prepare everybody to celebrate Christmas, the incarnation, God coming to humanity in a person, in Jesus. And part of the tradition in marking Advent is reviewing yearly the scriptures from the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, that set the stage for the type of God Jesus would eventually show the world. And so one passage that is from the Jewish Bible is one that was included in last week's dinnertime prayer for the Sundays of Advent that we released. And it's also going to be a part of our carol service next week. I'll give a quick commercial here. Next Sunday, December 17th, we have our annual Christmas carol service. It's one of our favorite services of the year. We'll read the story of Christmas together. We'll sing carols. It's always a really beautiful time, and we always have lots of guests, family, friends come out because it's a fun time to go to church, even if that's not something that you do regularly. So we'd encourage you, bring people around. We think it'll be a good experience for everybody. Anyway, commercial over. The passage I want to read here is from an ancient Jewish prophet, Isaiah, and he writes this, and I think it's apropos for what we're talking about. It's in your programs if you want to follow along. It says, "The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us." So, a simple bit of poetry about light coming into darkness. Jesus himself would also use this image multiple times to talk about what he was about, to talk about what God was about. What is hidden, he says at one point, must become into the light, must be revealed. And my question is, like, is there a better image to describe what is happening right now with men in power being exposed for sexual abuse than light coming into darkness? It's like, is there a better analogy to describe it? I'm not sure there is. And according to Isaiah and to Jesus, this is the kind of thing that God is all about. So that's why we're asking this question. What if this is a movement of God? What we're seeing happen with everyone being exposed? So in last week's talk, as we started thinking about this, Kyle, my co-pastor, and Mary Jean, who leads our women's ministry here, they got us thinking about how we as a community can join in on this, if this is a movement of God. They encourage us toward, above all, asking God for help to be brave. In a lot of ways, bravery is what this takes. Of course, for victims to speak out, but also for men and women who hope to be allies. Because the darkness, it seems, is more complex than we might think. And that's where I want to pick up today. You know, there was a story Kyle told last week about an experience that he and I had at a restaurant recently. I wonder if you heard it. The story got us thinking more broadly about uneven power dynamics. It's not a simple thing. It's actually quite subtle. And uneven power dynamics is one of the cultural factors that makes sexual harassment, sexual abuse more likely to occur. So what happened? Kyle and I are at a restaurant, and we witness a man in the booth next to us being physically rude to our server. It was our server and his server as well. He shoves his hand in her face at one point to dismiss her because he's on the phone, and like really, right in her face, even though she's literally doing her job. She's asking for his order, and he just kind of puts his hand in her face and shoves her away. And then sort of adding insult to injury, he proceeds to complain very loudly about this to his friend at the table, really like demeaning the server with like pretty gross language that you don't really hear people yell very often at restaurants. And so the two of us are sitting there, Kyle and me, we're in the booth next to this, and we cannot help but be like interrupted by this because he's so loud. And we both like at one point Kyle is trying to explain something to me because we're trying to have a meeting, and he says, "I'm sorry, I'm just really distracted right now." And we both are like looking at each other like, "Should we do something?" Like it feels like this is so overt. And so at this point last week when Kyle's telling this story, he led you all to believe that we jointly responded. That is not actually the whole truth, ladies and gentlemen. So my role in this was a bit like Piglet from Winnie the Pooh. But a little, does anybody know Piglet from Winnie the Pooh? Sort of anxiously in the corner like, "Yeah, go get him, Kyle." But he was actually the one who responded heroically. So I'll tell you, what happens is, Kyle tells me, and honestly, I think this was like inspiration from God. He looks at me and he says, "If I just confront this guy and tell him he's being extremely rude, that's going to go nowhere." So he instead goes over to the server and he says, "Hey, I'm sorry, this is going to sound really weird. That man was horribly rude to you. And I know this sounds strange, but can I pay for his meal?" And she's like she kind of visibly like moves her body back. And he says, "I'm going to tell him what I did, and then I'm going to tell him that he should cover the entire cost of what his meal would have been, plus a tip, and leave that as a tip for you as a way to apologize." And so she was like, "Oh, okay, sure." And so she did that. So she rung up this guy's meal, and Kyle did that. And this guy heard someone say to him, "That was about one of the rudest things I've ever seen." That was the words that he used. And he said, this guy heard Kyle tell him, "I really think that you should apologize." And not just with words, but with his wallet. And here's why I tell this story again. It is an everyday example that shows us that power that needs to be disrupted is not just people in authority. The power that needs to be disrupted is in many ways the culture we live in. It is subtle things, under the surface things, everyday stuff like interactions with servers. It is things that we often take no notice of. And really, we only scratched the surface last week. So along those lines, and I want us to hold in mind our current cultural moment in which sexual abuses are having a light shined on them, Kyle and I asked our wives to help us for this morning. So what we're going to do is invite up my wife, Kezia, and Kyle's wife, Michelle. And what we've asked them to do is to share for us What is some examples, help us to understand better the subtle ways that we all possibly participate in this culture? Now, Kezi and Michelle, I'm sure you'll notice, are women, and I am not. And so this is why I think we need to be taught by them and not by me. So, of course, I will say this goes beyond gender dynamics, and certainly we must also talk about uneven power dynamics in terms of race, in terms of ethnocentrism, socioeconomics. But for today, we're just going to focus on gender. And so I'm going to invite up Kezia, I'm going to invite up Michelle. Let's give them a hand, and then they're going to teach us for a little bit here. So, Kezia, Michelle.
Thanks, Vince. So I'm Michelle, and this is Kezia. So I found the article Everyday Sexism in a Post-Feminist World by Haley Krishner on The Atlantic helpful when thinking about my thoughts on feminism. Pop culture tells girls they can do anything, but the messages they experience tell them a different story. Nickelodeon's female quarterback character in Bella and the Bulldogs, or the strong female character in Cars 3, are good steps for girls' roles in pop culture. However, sexism in our culture isn't so in your face, and that feels true to my experience. A sexism that's not always verbalized in specific ways, but much more subtle. So one subtle way it happens is being interrupted when talking. Research shows women are interrupted more frequently than men. If a man's conversation partner was a female, he logged an average of 2.1 interruptions over 3 minutes. If his counterpart was a male, it dropped to 1.8. Another subtle way sexism happens in our culture is expressing emotion of anger. The journal Law of Human Behavior published research showing women are taken less seriously when they express anger in a group deliberation, while when the men expressed anger, they gained respect for showing emotion. These are just two subtle ways that give a snippet of current sexism today.
One thing I've thought a lot about is considering how we say or the things we say to or do to or with young children that teach subtle messages early on. We often tend to compliment girls on their appearance and boys on their performance. And saying things like, she's gonna make a man really happy someday, as if her whole purpose in life is to please men or please a man someday. Another way is brushing off and not taking seriously inappropriate behavior that makes girls feel unsafe. Things like, he just picks on you because he likes you, or boys will be boys. Rather than addressing the behavior with good teaching about boundaries, respect, and consent. Many of these things I have become aware of in the last few years as things that I have said and done. As a preschool teacher, I can't tell you how many times the first thing out of my mouth for a girl had something to do with complimenting her appearance, or had something to do with complimenting how beautiful I thought her artwork was. And the first thing out of my mouth for a boy was often about complimenting his creativity, his cleverness, or his strength. And honestly, there's nothing inherently wrong with complimenting these things. What's wrong is the division of girls receiving one type and boys receiving the other. For most of the time, what you hear most of the time. It has taken tons of self-reflection and intentionality in considering the words that come out of my mouth with the kids that I work with my own boys, and I still have a lot of work to do. A second thing that I have thought a lot about is how women contribute, how we women contribute to a culture that has uneven power dynamics. We value our bodies and men's approval over our own skills and abilities and holistic health. How we talk about each other, both good and bad, and how we compare ourselves to each other. For example, saying to a friend, have you lost weight? You look amazing. Instead of saying something like, you look really healthy. Again, that's the same thing. Like, it's not wrong to compliment, but what are we highlighting for each other as what's important? Another thing that I'm guilty of is saying, like, I don't know how she keeps her house so clean and works full-time and has all those kids. I'm such a slob, like tearing myself down and also attaching all of those responsibilities to myself solely. Another way that women contribute is letting men off of the hook, and men, yourselves too, letting yourselves off the hook for taking responsibility in household things. Saying things like, he's a guy, they just don't know how to clean, or I'll just do it myself. And I just want to be clear, I'm not saying that all of us do all of these things. These are just examples. And some of us are better at some of these than others. One last example that I want to share that feels really hard for me to say because it might sound trivial or stupid or prudish, but as a woman, sexist jokes, like, that's what she said, contribute to this. When women are present, it can make us feel unsafe. When it's just men, it contributes to the idea that women are for men's entertainment and pleasure. We have no interest in making anybody feel shame and sharing these things. Our hope is this. You understand that what we've shared is not a comprehensive list of ways that we contribute subtly. But our desire is that these things spark some serious reflecting about the ways that you may be contributing to a culture with clear hierarchies of power. And our other hope is that we're all able to take some intentional steps to work to reduce our own contribution and also help others do the same.
Yeah. So, as a man, I wonder if any of the other men in this room feel this. Like, you want to distance yourself from what just happened. You want to call it hypersensitivity. And I feel that, and I wonder if you feel that too. I just want to name it, because I think it's there. And the message that I want to say today, that I think Jesus has for us today, as we consider light coming into darkness, as we consider maybe there's something going on, God's doing something right now, right in front of all of our eyes. Men, our demand for the more clearly black and white matters to come into the light will carry more power if we refuse to defend the more gray matters that we could keep in the dark. Our demand for the more black and white matters to come into the light will carry more power if we refuse to defend the more gray matters that we could keep in the light, in the dark. I was listening to a podcast recently that asked listeners to consider the technical definition of sexual abuse. Unwanted touching, that's the technical definition. I'll tell you what it makes me think personally. I wonder if I took my high school girlfriend farther than she actually wanted to go. You know, do you think about anything like that? Is there any story like that that comes up for you? It's very easy for us to approach this matter as if the problem is out there, because there are so many things out there that are so overt and egregious. But I want to challenge us to do more than that. That's my challenge for us this morning. The problem may indeed be worse out there, but we will dull the sword we are fighting with if we just let ourselves off the hook because of that. The way of Jesus is this: we do not earn the right to point the finger at someone else until we have pointed the finger at ourselves. Jesus famously said, "How can we speak to someone else about removing the speck in their eye until we have removed the log in our own?" So what I want to finish our time with today is suggesting a practice of confession as a wonderful gift to us this morning. So if you can, please try to put on the shelf every ugly, shaming, manipulative version of confession you've experienced in the past. I know you have them. Put them on the shelf, please. Because we're not going to do that. My hope today is not to manipulate or pitch something ugly or shaming. Instead, let's return to the image of light coming into darkness. And let's use that as our image for confession. The good version of it is this. If this is a movement of God, we get to participate in it. If we welcome light, even on things we're ashamed of, or even on things we feel mixed emotions about, it will be freeing. Because then we'll realize, that's how any of us realize, that perfection has never been demanded of any of us. Life comes not down to how excellently you do it. Life comes down to how honestly you do it. Every one of us has done and will do things that we will feel ashamed of again. And if this is part of our culture, as Kezia and Michelle are helping us understand, then there's no escaping that fact. We will do things that maybe now we have more awareness about and think, crap, I don't want to be the type of person who's doing that, but I'm doing it. What are we called to do by Jesus in the light of this? Even so, live in the light. And I really want us to catch the nuance, like, live in the light. I wonder if you've heard that as like an encouragement from a religious leader before. I want to be clear. That does not mean live perfectly. If we are carefully reading Jesus in the Bible, it means live honestly. Live where light can shine on the things. Live humbly. And I want to be clear again about this. This does not mean that we overshare with people. This does not mean that we live our entire life on Facebook. It means that we live in touch with the fact that sometimes we will do things that we feel tempted to keep in the dark. But even so, we will live in the light. And it is vulnerable, and it's scary, and it opens you up to be misunderstood. It opens you up to be criticized. But it's freeing. You free yourself from the need to defend yourself. I have spent so many needless hours trying to defend myself. And a lot of times I'm just defending myself from myself because I kind of know, I'm not proud of that. Living in the light frees us from that. So this is the good version of confession that I want us to experience today. My hope for us is that we feel safe to try this out. So I want to pitch to you confession is like kind of this general thing. I want to pitch to you a specific practice of confession that you can do today if you feel so led. So confession as a practice, as a specific practice, it's not a literal thing. So it's not as though you are going to hell until you do this. That's not what I'm saying. Doing this is, as a practice, is an attempt to enact something physically that is already true spiritually. So it's not, you're not forgiven until you confess, and then you're forgiven after that because you said the magic words. A practice of confession is actually something that is more for us than it is for God. That's interesting. God doesn't need our confession to forgive us. You know, the great, very famous reflection from St. John in the Bible is that God is love. Forgiveness is his specialty. He doesn't need us to warm him up to it. The issue is us feeling that to be true. We don't have to convince ourselves. We don't have to struggle to believe that we are forgiven of something. That's what confession as a practice does for us. It helps us so we don't have to struggle to believe. The practice is as simple as this. It is expressing out loud a confession to someone that we trust who will respect our privacy, and then having that person speak back to us, you are forgiven. And that's it. And that doing that, enacting that, like in actual time where someone actually hears something that you've shared and then says that back to you, that can help you to feel something to be true that is in fact true, but so many of us struggle to believe it. So if you feel you could benefit from a specific practice of confession, what I'm going to suggest is in a moment, our band is going to be leading us in a time of singing and prayer, something we do every week to connect our emotions with God. And I want to ask all of you to be asking God in this time, in your own in your own mind, as you're praying in this space, we hope to create a prayerful space for you, to be filling you with whatever courage you need to confess, if that's something you'd like to do today. And during this time, we always have a prayer team available to help anyone interact with God, help find a connection with God, help find help from God. The prayer team, you'll know them because they wear badges like this, and then they'll be hanging out like right around the stairs up here, and then there's some seats reserved where a little bit more private where people can pray for you. And we always have this every week. So whatever it is, if you walked in this morning feeling like you have some sort of need this morning that you'd appreciate prayer for, you can go to one of these people. But specifically, I want to say that our prayer team is available today to receive confession in this manner. And so I'm going to talk to our prayer team for a second. The model that we just pitched, like somebody's going to share something, and then you are simply going to look at them and you're going to say, you are forgiven. And then after that, you can ask, would you like further prayer? And that's fine. But all that's happening in that confession space is just three words, you are forgiven. Understand, prayer team? Sound good? Okay. We say this every week, but it bears special repetition this week. If you go ask for prayer today, you are going to receive no unasked for advice, and everything that you share is confidential. And so I just want to make that really clear this week especially. I'll say to my fellow men in the room especially, to consider taking this opportunity. None of this is going to be, you know, you're going to hell unless you do this. This is come into the light, free yourself from the need to hide or defend yourself in the dark. This is soften your heart because you will like your life better that way. And I want us to return to this idea of if we want the black and white things, the really clear, overt, egregious abuses and harassments to come into the light, the way that we participate with that is to not let ourselves off the hook for the small things, for the subtle things. And so if you want to take us up on that offer, I encourage you to do that. Let me ask you to stand with me. I'm going to pray us into this prayerful space. I'll invite the band up to get started here. And then we're going to take some time to pray together. Well, you can close your eyes or open your eyes, whatever helps you to feel prayerful right now. I'm going to pray. God, I acknowledge where I'm coming from. As a man, as someone with my specific story. And I pray now that as each of us are quiet and make space for you in our heart right now, that you would allow us to also acknowledge everything that is true for us. Our gender, our identity, our story coming into this room, our experiences. And today, as we reflect on this idea, Jesus, of you bringing light into darkness, we do wonder, oh man, maybe something big is going on right now. And maybe we can be a part of that. Maybe you are doing something and we might get to participate in it. And it presents us with some fear. It presents us with the need to be vulnerable ourselves. But I'll just pray on anyone for whom that feels like, even while it's scary, that is a movement I want to be a part of. Let me just pray for you for a moment. God, fill us with the courage it means to join that movement. What you are doing in the world, what you are doing in our country, it will cost us something to step into that. And so help us to do that. It will cost us personal image, as I think that's clear enough from my own self being up here and talking about me. It will cost us personal image. And so gear us up for that, because there is something amazing about joining you in this, joining you to be a part of light coming into darkness. So whatever that looks like for each of us, I pray that you would keep us in this place of prayer, keep us in a thoughtful space, help protect us from distraction or just kind of wandering thoughts, and stay with us in this space, God, as we sing together, as we pray together. and do pray that you'd be with us.